Welcome to the Stain Gang Podcast as we talk about Midwestern State basketball with head coach Justin Leslie. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for joining us on these podcasts. We're with you just about every week. We'll take a little bit of a holiday break coming up, but be sure to tell your friends about the podcast and make your plans to be out at D.L. Ligon Coliseum to see Midwestern State during the upcoming season. They'll be back home on December 20th for a non-conference game, but they're on the road next to play St. Mary's on Monday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and we'll have an audio-only broadcast that you can catch at MSUMustangs.com. But before we get to St. Mary's, I want to talk about this past week Midwestern State. Most recently, you played UT Tyler in a game where you went on maybe the best run you've had since you've been at Midwestern State. You went on a 23-0 run during the first half of that game, but somehow UT Tyler managed to claw their way back with 7 minutes to play, tied it up at 44, but then you pulled it out in the end, and it was kind of a roller coaster game, but Midwestern State came out with a victory, and that's what matters the most.
No, that's it. It was certainly a hard-fought contest. That start was something special. It was sure nice to see the ball moving, scoring points, but I think really the catalyst in that run was how we played defensively. I just couldn't have been more pleased with how stout we were in protecting the paint and forcing them into difficult shots, and it led itself to a 23-point run, which it's pretty remarkable when you're able to go out and score that many points.
Those were few and far between 23-0 runs, and yeah. That happened after you fell behind 4-0.
Yes, no, they're a hard team to score on. I mean, they really are, and that's where, although we were scoring, I think it was more because of our defense, and wasn't realistic to think we were going to hold them scoreless for the entirety of the game. But they were able to tighten some things up and find some ways to score as the game went on. They're a good basketball team. They're tough to play at home. And I was really pleased that we were able to withstand their run. Their crowd got involved. But we made winning plays when it counted. And I was really pleased with the poise that our team displayed in order to just stretch that back out and close it out on the road.
The other thing that jumped out to me was, and pun somewhat intended, is how athletic UT Tyler was. They've got some really good athletes on that team.
Yeah, they're big. They're one of the bigger teams, maybe the tallest team in the conference, kind of top to bottom, 6'5" point guard, 6'6" shooting guard, and you put that together with a few athletes, they're formidable to score on. Puncturing the paint, the shell of their defense is hard to do, so we really had to work at it. They force you to make shots from the outside, and of course on the road that's difficult to do, but we were able to find a way to move them and get enough quality looks to where we could go make some shots from three and get the separation that we needed.
And then just a couple of days before that, you played Dallas Baptist, and it was kind of, in some ways, the opposite. They had gone on a 15-0 run against you in the first half, and it was Midwestern State who had to claw their way back into the game, but you did, and you're in that game at the end. It's still a coin toss in the final 4 minutes.
Yeah, we couldn't have played two more polar opposites.
Right.
Whereas I was just saying UT Tyler is one of the biggest teams in the league, and 6'5 point guard, DBU has a 6'5 center. And then are smaller from there, and they play really fast and just really chaotic and wild, and they're a really good basketball team, and I think that we took their best shot. I know we didn't play our best game, getting ourselves down in the first half is certainly not how we would have drawn it up, but that's the
but by halftime you were back within two, right?
Yeah. No, that's it. I mean, we cut it back, and it was a heck of a game. Give DBU credit. I think they played well to beat us. I think that they had to make some difficult and clutch shots down the stretch to get enough separation so that we couldn't get over the hump and pass them in those last couple minutes. I mean, we're right there. It's a one possession game throughout. And, Trevor Frank hits a deep contested three, which we told the team in advance that we had to watch out for him to do that. And with about a little over a minute left, he hit that to make it a two-possession game, and ball bounces the other way. Who knows? But they're a good basketball team on their home floor. They beat us by two.
It's just the latest in a long list of close games that you've played there, Berg Center, against those guys.
That's it. And, I look forward to hopefully getting the opportunity to play them again in March.
Coming up next, you've got St. Mary's, as we mentioned at the top, and it's kind of interesting – and even somewhat odd that you played the conference matchup with them first. Now you play a non-conference game against them, and you handled them, you know, at least on the scoreboard, you handled them pretty easily. You won that game by 23. It makes for kind of an interesting dynamic going into this game Monday.
It makes for a very interesting dynamic. When we originally set the schedule, we knew that we were going to have to – they came here last year, right, the start of the season. We knew we were going to have to return the game the following. When the Lone Star Conference office dropped the conference schedule on us, immediately we knew that there were some problems because of our final schedules and graduations. And then they have a tournament in Las Vegas that they're playing that week before Christmas. We just had to make do and start shuffling games around. And so those conference games being played early with both St. Mary's and St. Edward's was unique to have to play meaningful games like that early at home. Thankfully, we were able to find ways to earn victories in both of those. But now we have this game to return. And although it's a non-conference game, it's a regional game that matters. We have to go down there and find a way to earn another victory, because if we are, I mean, if we are able to get the win, it's a significant feather in our cap against a quality in-region Division II opponent who's playing really well.
I was going to say, since they left here, they've played pretty good basketball.
Yeah, they're 3-0 since they were able to go win at Lubbock Christian after we beat them. And then they beat Western New Mexico and Sol Ross at home, both very comfortably. They've made some tweaks to their lineup and rotation that, we're going to have to adjust to, but I think going on the road, we're going to have to expect a different game. Their leading scorer, I think we held to 1-for-11 from the floor. You can't expect that to happen again, especially at home. So I think, you know, there'll be a bad taste in their mouth. They'll be chomping at the bit and ready to compete really well against us on Monday.
Because they lost that first matchup, is the onus on them to make adjustments? Or do you change the way you played?
Well, at the end of the day, we have to go out there and just be the best version of ourselves that we can. At this stage of the game, I mean, I think we have a good basketball team, but we're not good enough to where we can worry too much about other people. we have to, of course, going into any game, you have to know the scout,
right,
you have to know the personnel, but we need to be accountable for ourselves and being the best version of Midwestern State that we possibly can, and then just leaving it all on the floor and competing.
So what does the best version of Midwestern State look like?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to guard. We're going to defend, especially going on the road against Lone Star caliber teams. You can't allow them to get comfortable on the offensive end. And, you know, we've been pretty consistent this season thus far at being difficult to score against, keeping teams uncomfortable as we change defenses. That needs to continue. And then after that, we have to continue making strides and improvement on the glass. Last time we played St. Mary's, they just crushed us on the boards. Now, a lot of that was because they had a poor shooting night. But even going into that game, they were a dominant offensive rebounding team. And so we need to do a much better job on the boards than we did the last time. And so that's not just unique to St. Mary's. That's moving forward, the best right version of us is improving on the glass. But we're a skilled offensive team. I think we need to trust our ability to shoot the ball. We can score in the paint from the outside and then just move it efficiently. And I think that needs to be like our focus. I'm kind of excited. We're finishing up final exams and we have a week to practice where we can go back to the basics on some things and just teach and clean up some of the areas that that we just need some work on, of just, you know, to put it simply, just playing basketball, not overthinking the scout. I mean, gosh, especially going into the last break we had about a week and a half off before we played DBU.
Right.
They play such a unique style. We were so focused on that we need to go back and just worry about playing basketball a little bit now.
Yeah, the schedule's been kind of odd, as we already kind of alluded to some of the strangeness of the schedule, but also the fact you had time off, you played two games, now you've got more time off. Does that make it tougher, or in some ways is it better?
Well, we've won some games. We're 6-2. We're 3-1 in Lone Star play, so I think it's great. sure, we would love to have been able to win all the games, but at the end of the day, we had a really challenging October and early November with a lot of injuries and then a lot of contests coming at us quickly. And so the opportunity for a little bit of breathing room, continuing to get guys healthy, you know, we were able to add Jordan Reed back into the rotation after being out for a month. It's nice to have him back. Now we need some practice to get him going. We're going to hopefully get Bakari Lestrap back into practice and start easing him back in. And before long, I hope to be at full strength. And as long as we can continue making those strides in a positive direction, getting everyone back on the floor together, getting quality practice reps, I think it bodes well moving forward.
What did you see from Jordan as he came back and put some minutes on the floor for you?
Well, he's another big physical guard. You know, I look at that game at Tyler, just a kind of a perfect example. I mean, Dontrell Hewitt has been playing just fantastic basketball, and he is big, he is punishing, he is physical, getting downhill. I thought that Noah McDavid did a wonderful job. It was kind of the primary matchup with him, but Jordan was able to come in and give him a different look as well. And that, you know, he helped hold Hewitt to 5 of 17 from the floor, which is you know, pretty solid. I was very pleased with that defensive effort. And so as he works himself back, he's a scorer, make no mistake about it. Jordan is a scorer, but as he works himself back into rhythm on the offensive end, he gives us a defensive presence that we can lean on while he's working his way back in on the offensive side.
We've talked so much about Mason Gibson, but a lot of these guys, like you mentioned McDavid a moment ago, those guys are also making huge contributions for you.
Well, I used the example to a couple folks that I've spoke with about, you know, Noah McDavid, Jonathan Jackson, Matias Vetevatovich. I mean, these are guys that haven't had the opportunity to play a lot of minutes the last few years. And as a result, they're just still getting through some of the cobwebs, just cleaning those things out and getting accustomed back to playing more minutes in the games. They're really good basketball players. And I think in those last few moments at Tyler, Noah really showed some flashes of what he can be. He made the key stops on Hewitt when Hewitt was trying to score. He got a steal in the final moments. He made the big three that gave us the separation. We only missed one free throw in the last 2 minutes, but Noah got the offensive rebound when we did. You know, those guys just getting back in the mix are only going to continue to get better and improve. So I'm excited for this stretch of the season. I think their best basketball is definitely in front of them. And so this time now that we have over our Christmas break as they finish their finals, I'm gonna challenge them to continue making strides.
The guy that you can really see that with is Svetozarovich, is that he's growing accustomed to playing NCAA Division II basketball, Lone Star Conference basketball.
No doubt. And one of the things where, I mean, I specifically challenged him the last time we met before we went on this trip was he needs to improve as a rebounder. I mean, he's a fantastic athlete. Sure, he can shoot it. He can move his feet. But he needs to get more rebounds for us. And I think that's something that as he continues to improve and develop in, it's only going to help our team as well.
So how do you get to be a better, either as individually or as a team, how do you get to be a better rebounder?
Well, I think the first thing, it just starts with some awareness, right? Honestly, that it's a priority to go crash on the offensive end. I mean, we do a lot of drilling on you know, if the ball's shot on the right side, where by the numbers, where is it probably going to end up? And it's kind of about a 45-degree window on the left side, opposite, of getting yourself in the position to where you're opposite, then you track the flight of the ball. But really, I think it just starts with that awareness, and then just that there's accountability that you have to pursue. I mean, we track pursuits of the ball, how many times they go crash the glass. And when you stat that out on a team, and I send it to them, you know, if you consistently see yourself at the bottom of the rankings, I mean, there's some peer accountability there that happens. But rebounding is, you know, it's my fifth and sixth grade coach that first taught me basketball. It's desire. It's want to. And
it's not just luck.
No, it hasn't changed. I mean, luck, usually the luckiest guys are the ones that pursue it the most vigor.
Funny how that works out.
That's exactly right.
So you've got the, as we mentioned, you've got the second meeting with St. Mary's, and then you've got Arlington Baptist coming in on Friday, December 20th, which is a non-conference game that you'll play just before the break. What are you kind of hoping to get out of that game?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have some players that need to get back in the flow and in the rhythm of just playing some more minutes on the floor. And so that's a game that we need to come in. We need to get after them. We need to play well. But I think the most important aspect of that game is going to be getting some of these players that haven't had the chance to just get their legs underneath them on the court. Just get them some extended minutes and play the game so we can go into the break on a high note.
Is there a chance we'll see Bakari in San Antonio?
I'm not sure yet.
Too
early to say.
He's day to day.
Right now, I'm excited to have him back out practicing.
I did notice on Friday you cut back on Pierre Sanders' minutes a little bit.
Well, it wasn't so much that it was we were trying to cut Pierre back as much as it is we had rotations that were working right, and then he got two fouls early in that first half as well, and so trying to protect him a little bit, that also played a little bit, I think, into the run that they made against
right.
us. But you know, hindsight's always 20/20.
So it wasn't load management per
no,
se.
No. I can't imagine a scenario where we're going to play him 40 minutes, but...
38 maybe?
Pierre's,
no, I'm just kidding.
Pierre's conditioned himself to where he's ready to compete, and had nothing to do with any type of load management. It was just managing that game of what I thought we needed in order to get out of there with a victory.
And you did exactly that, and you're off to a good start in the Lone Star Conference. It's December, so it seems really early to be talking about this. And I remember talking to Casey before the Dallas Baptist game, you know, and I just asked him, you know, is this a big game? But these are big wins that you've already collected here in December in the LSC.
Every Lone Star game is critical. I mean, we found ourselves last year going into Christmas and conference play at 1-3. And we had a good team, but a couple bounces go the wrong way, and it's a very different Christmas break going 3-1 versus 1-3. You know, there's still a lot of basketball out in front of us, but being in a position to where we've already got some quality wins under our belt, it's just really going to go a long way into providing momentum for the rest of the season.
Well, that game December 20th, so your next chance to see Midwestern State at D.L. Ligon Coliseum. That's a Friday night, 7:00. No better way to start the holiday season than at D.L. Ligon Coliseum watching Midwestern State basketball. Coach Justin Leslie, I always appreciate your time. Thanks for taking part in these podcasts. And we'll see you in San Antonio Monday. That's a 2:00 start Monday afternoon, and it will be available live on Flow Sports. And if you want to hear the Midwestern State broadcast, we'll have a free audio version available for you that you can get to via MSUMustangs.com, and you can always follow the Mustangs that way as well. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang Podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stain Gang Podcast, and hope you'll be with us one way or the other, Monday, December 16th, 2:00, when Midwestern State visits St. Mary's. So long.